We're doing a three-part series. I have done a three-part series on the billion-dollar industry that is prison and incarceration in Aotearoa, New Zealand. We've been distracted by the government and their push around gang patches and to me, without actually going into the real issue, which is more than $100,000 a year is spent on incarcerating individual prisoners in New Zealand. Begs the question, as Hiniani and I were talking about, whether or not the system has become the parent to a lot of people, because we're actually investing stuff all when it comes to recidivism and rehabilitation. That's before we even get to the number of people languishing on remand, awaiting justice, rightly or wrongly, if they're convicted or not, or sentenced or not. You've got hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have been waiting unnecessarily on remand. What do we do about this? It's a big cope of a three-part series on our website, www.ytnews.com. But to talk about this, I wanted to see if we can get Eugene Ryder. And we have Eugene on the line. Eugene, welcome, brother.
Hey, morena, mate.
Right, I know we've talked about stuff often. I've known you for a while. I'm also still waiting for the delivery of my con. But hey, to me. This, we're making the transition from talking about gangs and gang patches, which I call distracted politics, into, well, actually, Eugene, the correction system, the jails, if you like, we're spending hundreds of millions, if not billions, on an industry now that in some cases has become the parent to both our rangatahi and our tāne and wahine. Would it be fair to say that this is an industry?
Oh, it is definitely an industry, Bo. You know, just from a financial point of view, I can't understand why taxpayers are willing to pay $200,000 a year to keep someone in prison, but not $50,000 to keep them out. You know, so yeah, it's definitely an industry, and I know who's not making the money.
Well, because the economics on this one just don't add up. I mean, we've been led into this distraction narrative around gangs and gang patches and all the rest of it, and crime and whatever you want to talk about. But the real story in my mind is, well, hang on. There are economics in this. We're told also the country's broke, yet we're prepared to spend billions on incarceration, and yet we can't even come up with the goods when it comes to keeping people out of jail, which from an economic perspective would seem to be the solution as opposed to just sending them back to prison.
Most definitely. There's no incentives for the system to reduce recidivism. And we know through the Royal Commission inquiry into abuse and care that a lot of those that are in gangs were created from being in care in the first place, you know. And so it's difficult to. I learned this thing a few years ago when I was here. It's called the Elizabethan Poor Laws, and what it says is that there are those that deserve and those that don't deserve, and it seems that our people are the ones that don't deserve to be helped, you know. And so that's a dilemma that I don't think any government has addressed in the last maybe 15 years.
Well, see, the other interesting part of this, I'm glad you raised that, because the other part of this is the distraction politics of it, which is now we're seeing stories emerge about the number of corrections officers that are being recruited into Australia, and therefore they're leaving New Zealand, and recruiters are going to places like the UK, even South Africa, to recruit corrections officers to basically look after, if you like, prisoners in New Zealand. And yet again, it seems that we're riding over the fact that, well, hang on, is the prison system, let alone the justice system, fit for purpose, given those pathways to jail, if you like, to incarceration, have not been addressed, such as abuse and care, youth detention, youth justice. I mean, Hiniani and I were talking before about the simple reality that if a young person is caught by the popo for a licence problem, or they don't have one, they are arrested and charged, they're summoned to court, don't turn up, next minute warrants issued for their arrest, next minute they're in the system. I mean, it seems as if we fail to consistently not address the root cause of very basic matters, and therefore they become, as you say, you know, $200,000 a year incarceration management issues.
It just doesn't make sense. You know, there was quite a few years ago, I think, when National was in coalition with the Māori Party, there was a hui that was called by the government that was looking at the determinants of crime.
Is that the one down in Porirua?
No, it was at Parliament. And they had found that there were particular determinants, you know, there's housing, lack of jobs, all that. And yet they did nothing about it. So, it seems strange that, like I said, like, taxpayers are more than happy to spend $200,000 a year on one Māori to be in prison. But, you know, if there's any spend anywhere else, it's called a gravy train. And, I'm not sure about the psyche of, of taxpayers today, because, it doesn't make financial sense.
See, this is why I like talking to you, aside from hoping that the crime wine will arrive, is the fact that, you know, you raise another interesting point. I dare say that the vast majority of New Zealanders, non-Māori in particular, don't understand the economics of this, because that's not where the discussion is had. I think a lot of people would be genuinely mortified at the fact that it's spending hundreds of thousands per person to lock them up, and yet the solution is glaringly obvious, of recidivism and rehabilitation to some degree, et cetera, et cetera, yep, at a much less cost than it is to continuously keep them in prison.
Yes, well, you know, there's two ways that we can kind of handle the situation. One is punitive, one is rehabilitative. And it seems that society is focusing on punitive, you know, that to me seems like the bottom of the cliff. You know, if we can stop our whānau from walking up that mountain where they're going to fall off the cliff, then that's a better investment than what we're doing at the moment. And given the current financial environment, I'm sure it would make more sense to save that $200,000 a year keeping people in by spending less than half of that to keep them out. Imagine the savings that, you know, that would make in that space.
But it seems we're also outsourcing the problem to business and industry, which is why I call it an industry. I mean, we're seeing more of that that model of the Serco's and the overseas companies coming into New Zealand and running the prison system. And so basically, what corrections do mostly is monitor and audit versus actually manage themselves. I'm stupefied by the whole thing.
I tell you, you know, the problem with the privatisation of our prisons is that those private enterprises that are investing in that, they want a return on their investment.
Well, they're making a profit. Less,
yes, definitely. And so it's in their best interest to keep those prisons full, which is probably why we're seeing more cells being built, prisons expanding, you know, and it's not the way to get a better society. There's a solution there. I think the government knows it. I think they're a bit scared about the reaction that society might have towards what they would see as helping criminals. And you're not, you know, we're not really doing that. What we're trying to do is stop criminals from being criminals. And if we can do that, we'll go a long way, I'm sure.
Well, and then we've got the other added problem. Sorry to take so long with this, but then we've got the other added problem of people on remand who haven't been convicted of anything, haven't been to trial, haven't been sentenced, but have pretty much either lost their livelihoods, have lost their rental accommodation or their homes. You've got some people on remand that I've spoken to who are now homeless, having lost everything. And that's before you even get to the stigma related to operating in a world of shadows, where they're not necessarily free of the stigma associated with being on remand. I mean, we've got a plethora of different issues, right?
Yeah. So, you know, those are like, I think from what I heard, the last time I had a hui with corrections, there are over 60 Māori wahine that are remanded in custody that should not be remanded in custody. And the only reason that they're there is because of poverty. They don't have a suitable place to be bailed to. You know, some of them are victims of domestic violence, therefore can't go back to the home that they're from. And so, yeah, it kind of blows out of the water that that perception that someone is innocent until proven guilty.
But it's another
because they're spending such a long time in prison, it ends up they plead guilty just to get it over and done with.
Well, it's another adage, justice delayed is justice denied. Look, I'm going to ask you a question that I'm sure Henning Ali may not have posed to you herself because I didn't pose it to you. But, I mean, if we were able to wave a magic wand, what would be one of the biggest and most impactful solutions we could make to trying to put this, the good ship justice, if you like, on the straight and narrow?
Yeah, I think there's two things that we could do. And one is to get our people at the top of the cliff. But that doesn't ignore the fact that there are already people in prison and there are people on their way to prison. Mm-hmm. So the other way of looking at it would be, you know, we have our whānau in there for 6 to 8 years. Imagine if they spent 6 to 8 years in university, what degree they'd come out with. So I think education could be a good thing that could be useful for our whānau that are in there so that their time isn't wasted. So they're not coming out, you know, 6 years older but still kind of young in the mind. So if we could put some education in there so that they come out with a degree so that they can be contributing members of society, paying their taxes, you know, it'll be a better place. If I had a wand, that's what I'll be doing.
You know, interesting you should say that because when I did the review into youth justice in Oranga Tamariki a couple of years back before I got a bit, you know, a bit crook, I saw a lot of people, a lot of young people being sentenced to things such as anger management and stuff like that. Okay, so that's like an hour a week. But they weren't necessarily being afforded the ability to go through formative education or obtain a skill or an apprenticeship or a trade or something like that. And so normally when they were being released, they were not necessarily being released to an opportunity, let alone a home. But I remember distinctly, Eugene, I'm going to tell a story here. I remember distinctly going into the Mangaroa prison, and within that prison is a youth justice centre run by Oranga Tamariki. And we were there, it was me, Nader Glavish, and Sir Mark Solomon. And we were there, and we met the kids. We had a bit of a session with them. And one of these boys had built a gaming idea that he wanted to build a business after he was released. But I won't get into the details, obviously, why he was in there, but I saw in the eyes of that kid a potential entrepreneur, somebody with an idea and a dream, and yet he was in a place where dreams are not necessarily encouraged, thus suppressed.
Yes, but I'm glad you see that because all of our rangatahi, Māori and non-Māori, are full of potential.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just haven't realised it or they're making the wrong decisions at the wrong times. You know, and so if we can tap into that potential, then, you know, it'll be a better place. We all know already, you know, based on a research that was done quite a few years ago by a wahine called Simone Bull, driving offences are the doorway to prison. Mm. So if we can address that by giving them licences, teaching them how to drive, you know, it's so much stuff that seems like common sense that, it's just ridiculous that we're not doing stuff like that.
You know, can I just say the last thing? The other thing that makes complete common sense here is butterfish. Butterfish caught off the Wairarapa coast, just around Cape Palliser there. You know the road I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Bro,
I do.
You know where I'm going.
What I know, Matt, is that if you can't catch it with your hands, you shouldn't be catching it.
Well, I'd probably be bigger than the butterfly. I mean, to be fair, these days, if I got in the water, Greenpeace would be rung because there's a whale stranded just off Palliser. Hey, Eugene Ryder, always fantastic to have you on the show. Really appreciate it and your insights as well. Kia ora, bro.
I my bro, nga mihi ki a koe.
Nga mihi,
bro.